small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Pilar Alessandra.
And this is your monthly Patreon episode. How do you get involved? Go to patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. Click on the tier that's $2 a month, and you can participate in episodes just like this. Now, this week's topic, or this month's topic, is Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
And you came up with this.
Well, you came up with the title. It was good.
But you came up with the topic idea.
Yeah, the idea that we're some of the first music we listen to is something our mom and dad is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And yeah, that.
A song that we heard from our mom and dad's record collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
That kind of, you know, stuck with us or informed us or...
Or turned us off of their music.
Or turned us off, sure.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Thanks. Today, it's going to be hot in North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
The humidity, like, I don't go out of the house until it's time to go to work at, like, 1:30. And then I walk out of the house, and it's just like I walked into the swamp. It's so, the humidity is crazy.
But, you know me. I like everything about it, right?
You like everything about it.
It feels like, oh, it's tropical. And then there's, like, a little tropical storm that mm-hmm. like bing and then it goes away and I don't know.
Just keep that deodorant on hand because everybody's sweaty. Not you, but everyone. Maybe you.
It's a wet heat.
It's a wet heat. It's not a dry heat.
No.
No more of a dry heat.
Done with the dry heat.
What's going on? Nothing else new. I don't think there's anything new.
Oh, well, Ezra visited us.
Ezra visited us. I had a bout of diverticulitis. A diverticulitis flare-up. Look it up, folks. Which caused me to not be able to go see Cheap Trick a week ago.
You know things are bad when...
When yes. I don't go to Cheap Trick.
Right.
It's a free concert.
Yep.
You were happy. You didn't want to go.
No.
You're so happy. Like, oh, this couldn't be better. I was hoping that you would get something.
I don't mind the heat, but I... don't like mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
And mosquitoes. That sounded like it was an outdoor evening concert mm-hmm. on the lawn.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh my God. That just sounds like somebody's going to feast on me.
You just put the, what do they put? What do you wear? DEET?
You know me. Like when I get even one, I look like I have the mumps.
That's true.
I scare people with
We
my
could
reaction.
Walk through the jungle and I wouldn't get bit at all and you would be... Mump woman.
Yes, I would be mump woman.
Right.
Just really hot.
Let's get into this. We have like, I think like 17 entries today, maybe more. You have a couple. I have a couple.
Yeah.
I'll start it off.
Okay.
I always like to start it off because I'm the host. This is an artist that I first heard and saw in my parents' record collection, Tommy Edwards.
Hmm.
This song is called It's All in the Game. And I definitely remember hearing this from my parents' stereo hi-fi system. Let's go.
Okay.
Many a tear has to fall.
I like it.
In the game.
All in the wonderful game that we know as love. You have words with him, and your future's looking thin.
Oh no.
But these things your hearts can rise above.
It's all in the game, honey.
I could see that. I could see that once influencing a young Pat Francis with... It's beat. It's got a good beat.
I mean, this is one that I liked.
It's
like when
smooth.
This one came on, I'm like, yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can relate to this one. Not
see
relate,
mom and dad like getting down to this one.
Wow, yeah. No, no, you just took it creepy. You took it creepy. All right, let's find out what some of these people have to say. When I say these people, I mean the lovely Patreon supporters.
They are lovely.
This first guy has a podcast called Pop Fuss, so check it out. And this is Andy Solem.
Hi, Andy.
Let me make sure the sound's up. I don't know what any of these songs are going to be because I don't have them. I can't see the songs. I just going to, you know.
Oh, did you do that thing where they've recorded it and now we're just listening blind? Or is this the thing where you're like using your iTunes?
No. I just didn't. Like all of this, the only thing this file says to me is Andy Solem intro plus song.
Uh-huh.
Like I didn't put his song. I mean, I when it plays, I'll know it, but I'm not introducing it. They are.
That's cool, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. It won't be long, yeah.
Greetings, Rock Solid faithful. This is Andy from the sunny coast of Florida. Also want to say hi to Pat's better half, if she's there co-hosting with you.
I think that's
this
me.
This is a great topic. You know, I have a lot of nostalgia thinking about the vinyl that my parents owned. They didn't own a lot, but what they did definitely played a role. The ones I most remember are Endless Summer by the Beach Boys, that Beach Boys Greatest Hits compilation. Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, and boy, the artwork in that thing. Some of that was not age-appropriate.
Boobs.
Also Paul Simon and Fleetwood Mac Rumors. But the track that I'm going with and that you've heard a little bit of is The Beatles' It Won't Be Long from their debut album with The Beatles. A cool story about this is when this record came out, my mom and dad went to Florida State University. That's where they met and got married. And my mom worked at the campus radio station, but they didn't play pop music of the time. It was classical only. So they got this new Beatles record in, and it was stamped promotional only. And the program director said, "We're not going to play this. Who wants it?" My mom said, "Sure, I'll take it." And so it's been in the family ever since.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And yes, I've looked it up. It's really not worth much of anything, but still very cool to have a promo copy of the Beatles' first album. Thanks, Pat, for always having these cool Patreon episodes.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, it is a cool story.
That's a great find. Yeah, I hope that's in your possession, Andy. I hope you don't want that to end up in the wrong hands.
I can't believe that wouldn't be worth a lot of money.
I know. I think there's so many different pressings of so many Beatles things and so many re-releases that maybe they watered down the, the market.
What do we think about Andy's very cool, like fading things in and out as he's talking?
Oh, I liked it. Instead of like introducing the song and then we hear the song, we heard the song first and then he just talked over it. And yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a lot of production involved in that. And we thank you.
Yes. But not required because like...
Not required because yeah, some people don't...
Not everybody
don't,
can do that. I certainly could.
As I said, he has a podcast, so he now knows how to do things like that.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right. Who's next? This gentleman's name is Jerry Riggs. That's all I know. I can only tell you their names. I don't know what they're going to play.
This is exciting.
Is it?
It is.
Here we go.
Hello, Pat, Pilar, and the Rock Solid community. Oh. This is Jerry Riggs coming to you from Columbus, Ohio. For this bonus episode, picking a song that you discovered by your mom and dad's record collection, I decided to go with a song from my dad's collection since the time of this recording, Father's Day is only 2 weeks away. My dad's favorite band was Creedence Clearwater Revival, and one of his favorite songs by them was Run Through the Jungle. My dad only owned one CCR cassette tape that he purchased at a garage sale. Every time that we would ride in his truck, he would always play that tape. From 1984 to 1986, that tape was on constant rotation. To this day, my mom hates that band. Thanks, Pat, for these episodes. You and your listeners, be safe and keep rocking.
I think I've ruined some bands for you.
Oh, yeah.
Run through the jungle.
feels like the jungle in Winston-Salem right now. Thank you, Jerry Riggs, for Run Through the Jungle. Now, the pop or crackle that you heard at the beginning was that was actually on Jerry's file.
Jerry.
I don't know what happened.
Jerry.
But, Pilar, you jumped. You like,
well,
like it was like.
I have an ear thing. You know that.
All right.
But
hopefully that doesn't happen again today.
I just try to think back in time, right? This is. It's funny, like we put our parents in certain categories, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're old and everything. But think about, like, you're hearing this kind of music for like close to the first time and you're playing it at home, and this is like an exciting sound. You
yeah.
know what I mean? This is a, like, and it's a rebellious sound. It's not like a dad. It's not dad music.
It's not,
you know?
Tommy Edwards. Is that what you're saying? No, that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Here we go.
Hi, Pat and Pilar. It's Mark here from Exeter in the UK in the southwest. Yeah, this is a great great title. I had to really think back for this because they did play some really terrible songs, my parents. a lot of really hick country music. But the one actually that really started me off on rock music was they had a lot of the Beatles albums, and the track I particularly liked was Twist and Shout, the Beatles cover that they did that they knew as teenagers and learned a lot of their basic guitar chords from. Just brilliant. And it's a sort of really sort of heavy rock version of the song, which was not like that when it first came out. But absolutely loved it. And that was really the spark, I think, that led me to rock music. And we did have a small band at school that we called the Hornets. I had zero talent, so I was officially the manager, which involved writing out the lyrics to the songs and stopping the 45s and the LPs every 10 seconds or so, trying to work out what on earth the lyrics were saying. Twist and Shout made that a lot easier because there were not many lyrics. Okay, enjoy. Bye.
Song is such like the bridge, right? Like between like old Beatles and what they became.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
You know. It's two Beatles so far.
Well, you know, I mean, that makes sense that we were all impacted, right, by the Beatles. And there was, you know, and it almost doesn't matter like what kind of parent you had, they're going to connect with the Beatles in some kind of way, right?
Yep. Children of the Beatles.
Children of the Beatles. That's what we are.
And writing out the song lyrics, I can remember there were a couple Cheap Trick albums when I was a kid that didn't come with song lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no internet to look it up. There was no computer. So I was actually, I made a Cheap Trick lyric book, and I would write the lyrics out, and then I would type them on a typewriter,
mm-hmm.
and then put the pages together and I bound them. I mean, it's
I get
it's
it.
Crazy.
I used to do stuff like that all the time. I don't know if you know this, but for a hot second in high school, when Cheap Trick got popular, mm-hmm. I read an article because I was that kid that read articles, and it said these are the new Beatles, And it was talking about the way they were positioned on stage. It talked about their different sort of vocal personalities, their different, like, you know, and it said, this is the new Beatles. You have to listen to them. So I listened to Cheap Trick because they told me it was the new Beatles.
And are you sure that was an article about Cheap Trick? I mean,
it was about Cheap Trick because okay. I remember it really well.
All right.
But what I listened to, I think it was I Want You to Want Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
That's not the Beatles.
And so I stopped listening. But like,
Beatles.
I just want to let you know, like, for, you know, in high school, I was like, I sat, you know, I purposely set out to find out, like, I have to listen to this band because this is what they're saying.
Yeah. And I like that you immediately had an opinion about it. You didn't care for it.
Well, I loved the Beatles.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Let's move on. You ready?
Yes.
My friend from college, Pat Halferty.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, Pat and Pilar and Rock Solid World. Pat Halferty from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania here. Thanks, Mom and Dad. In the 60s, every first-generation Irish-American family owned an 8x10 frame photo of John F. Kennedy and at least one Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makeham album. These things were as much a staple in our homes as Catholic guilt. Anyway, these four Irishmen had burst onto the scene when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show wearing their signature Aran-knit sweaters, singing their up-tempo and rousing traditional folk songs. They helped spark a movement of Irish trad and folk, but they didn't originally come to the States to sing. They came to be actors. They settled in Greenwich Village in New York City, and they became immersed there in the folk scene, playing gigs to make rent money. And it was there that they became friends with a young guy who'd blown in from Minnesota by the name of Robert Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan. And he was enamored with the rebels, outlaws, lovers, and other larger-than-life characters that the Clancy brothers and Tommy sang about. And he lifted liberally from their book of traditional songs and some of his early work. He loved the song that they sang called Brennan on the Moor about a highwayman by the name of Willie Brennan. He adapted it and wrote Ramblin' Gamblin' Willie, which I think went unreleased until the bootleg series came out in the early 1990s. Their influence on Dylan is undeniable. So that's my submission. Brennan on the Moor from the Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makeham. Thanks, Pat and Pilar. Rock in peace, Mom and Dad. And rock on, everyone.
The lips of a brave young highwayman, this story we will tell. His name was Willie Brennan, and in Ireland he did dwell. 'Twas on the Gilwart Mountains he commenced his wild career, and many a wealthy noble land before him shook with fear. Oh, it's Brennan on the Moor, Brennan on the Moor, bold, brave and undaunted was young Brennan on the Moor. One day upon the highway, yes, Willie, he went down. He met the mayor of Cashel a mile outside the town. The mayor, he knew his features, and he said, young man, said he, your name is Willie Brennan, you must come along with me. And it's Brennan on the Moor, Brennan on the Moor, all brave and undaunted was young Brennan on the Moor. How Brennan's wife had gone to town provisions.
I love how we got this lesson. Right? If we just listened to that, we might have made fun of it. But Pat just connected it to all the, you know, the groundbreaking music of the time.
Yeah.
Very open-minded of him, too, as a young person to go like, yeah, but this connects, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe he found that out later that it connects. I'm thinking now of all the other albums that my parents had in their collection. Like they had these sing-along with Mitch albums, Mitch Miller. And just like all this, you know, stuff that I would never. And my dad had like some patriotic albums like The Ballad of the Green Beret. And just like, who bought this?
You must have had something like this, like what he just played, because that seems very like your parents.
No, I don't have anything like, I mean, I still have a couple more songs. But
No.
But
no.
You mean in their collection?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they did because it was Irish, Irish, Irish all the time.
And what he said about the framed picture of
John F. Kennedy.
Oh my God.
My brother has one of those in his dining room right now.
Right now. It's really funny.
It is really funny.
What do we do about Pat's Casey Kasem voice? Like, does he have a show? Could we just find a show for him?
Gift him a show?
He's good at this. Oh my God.
He's really good at
this. It's ridiculous. He does have that Casey Kasem thing, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Could he, like, I don't know, play him in the biopic?
I don't know.
only I was a manager. Okay.
If only. You don't. Pat doesn't look like Casey Kasem, though.
No?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I was just hearing his voice.
Is Casey Kasem Irish from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? I don't think he is.
I don't know what he was.
All right. Moving right
half
along.
Half the listeners are like, who's Casey Kasem?
Not my listeners. They know.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. This is Katie Nines from southeastern Wisconsin. When I was a kid, my dad had these cassette tapes that he bought at a gas station. There were hits from each decade. The internet tells me they were called Cruisin' Classics. We would listen to them nonstop anytime we were in the car. And actually, it turns out my dad can actually listen to pretty much anything on repeat forever and ever and ever without getting sick of it.
Me
literally.
Too. Me too.
Forever. Anyway, we had a family favorite song from one of the 70s and 80s tapes. And every time it came on, we would get really excited and dance in our seats. Specifically, we would shake our feet. Why? Because that song was Footloose by Kenny Loggins. And we were dancing with our feet loose? I don't know. Kids are weird. To this day, my dad will tell you this is his favorite song. But I'm honestly pretty sure that's only because of the memories with the family.
Aww.
Pat, play it from anywhere. Pilar, thanks for the fun topics. Keep them coming.
Yay.
Hope everyone's having a great start to their summer.
Dancing barefoot.
That is a fun song.
Come
on.
That's a great memory, too.
That is a good memory.
Oh, my gosh.
Great memory,
you know?
Great story.
Yeah.
It's still her dad's favorite song because of the memories.
Oh, that is so sweet.
That is so sweet.
I remember our kids in the back seat and Miley Cyrus song came on and they both just start singing to it at the top of their lungs.
Right.
These are two kids who never agreed on everything from the day they were little,
never.
You know?
Never.
And they both just chimed in all at once with this and they were just, I was like, and every time I hear that song, I'm like, I just think of that. You know what I mean? That's what's great about music, right? Is it just holds a memory. That's kind of cool.
All right. What's next? My parents had so many Andy Williams albums.
Oh, God.
He was on TV. He's still, I think Andy Williams is still alive. He might still do Christmas shows in the, you know, in around the holidays.
You still play that Christmas album.
I do like that
every
Andy Williams Christmas album.
Christmas.
It's a good Christmas album.
It's not.
It is.
It's torture.
It is. Peppermint Stick for Old Saint Nick.
No.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's great. But this song, 100%, was played in our house many times. It's called "Can't Get Loose to." I can't even say it. Can't get used to losing you.
Can't get used to losing you.
Say it again.
Can't get used to losing you.
Yeah, someone has to be able to say it. Okay, here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue, though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl I used to know. After I heard her say hello, couldn't think of anything.
You know, know, the verse at first I thought sounded like almost cool, and then we went to the chorus, like, no.
I still think it's kind of cool.
Imagine, like, if you did it with, I don't know, like some kind of contemporary artist, some kind of really cool.
If the Beatles did it?
No, like somebody contemporary, like somebody.
Well, contemporary back in his day.
No, I mean, like, now.
Okay.
Now, you know, or, you know, somebody who, like, let's make that Billie Eilish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, the verse itself.
Yeah.
You know, with that plink, plink. You know, and
I like that, and plink, like, plink.
And like, you could almost hear her doing it, and then like she could like whisper the chorus, mm-hmm. and it would suddenly be very cool.
No,
but it's still
cool.
Andy Williams, so it's not.
My brother would tell you that song's great.
Oh my God. Oh,
again, my brother's 6 years older than me, but there's 20 years difference.
Yeah, yes, I can vouch for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I definitely.
All right. This gentleman was just in town last week to visit. For a day,
okay.
We went to Slappy's Chicken.
Yes, you did.
We went to McKay's.
Uh-huh.
We got some coffee in the morning. This is Kevin Hartbarger.
I texted Pat, I'm like, aren't you supposed to be at work?
And I said, yes. I'm going in 2 hours late today. Kevin Hartbarger's in town. Here we go.
Hi, folks. It's Kevin Hartbarger from Chicagoland. Although today I'm coming to you live from North Carolina, where I'm down to visit my mom. And after I finish this intro, I'm going to hit the road and go have lunch with my second favorite podcaster. But let's talk about an artist that I can thank my mom and dad for, specifically my mom, because she's the world's biggest Jackson Browne fan.
Wow.
So much so that they even have the same birthday. Not sure how that worked out. My pick is going to be Running on Empty, the title track, which is an obvious choice, but it's an absolute classic and a song that every time I hear reminds me of my mom. Pat, play it from wherever you want. It's good from start to finish. And as always, thanks for having me.
Kevin Hartbarger's parents cooler than my parents.
Yeah.
Listening to Jackson Browne.
Absolutely.
Wow. I do love that song. That's going to make me listen to Jackson Browne now when I get my shower today.
Oh, dear. No, well, we haven't heard Jackson Browne in a while. You haven't been on a Jackson Browne loop.
Oh, so you allow it?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you've been on, we haven't been on that particular loop in a while.
Get ready for it.
There was, oh, yes. Okay.
There was what?
Well, you've always, you. There was a Jackson Browne loop, for sure. It's just been a couple years, so
okay.
I'm ready.
Let's do one of yours. Do you want to do the band that we've heard already, or do you want to do the other person? It's up to you.
Let's see. I'll do the band we've heard already.
All right. Tell us about it.
So I mentioned this on another podcast that, you know, my dad played Abbey Road. I think this is from Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Over and over and over again. And I remember being on this podcast and sort of having that revelation of, like, wait a minute. This came out, and he brought it home, and he played it, and it was new then. And I think
it was new then. Yeah,
I think it still, like, kind of boggles my mind that, you know, if you're hearing this when you're a little kid, you're hearing it for when everybody's hearing it for the first time.
Yep.
You know, so yes, he would play it over and over and over again, and influence me in so many ways. But I was a little kid, right? So this is the song that I loved the most.
Of course.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
Hands down, the best memory, my dad's alive, but the best memories I have of my dad were dancing to this album with him. Me being a little kid and him dancing with me in the living room. I think we lived in Brooklyn at the time. And hands down, the best memories.
And now your kid lives in Brooklyn.
I know.
Crazy.
I know. My kid lives in Brooklyn and the other kid lives in Boston.
What comes around goes around.
Also where I grew up. It's so weird.
Thank God no one lives where I live.
Hollidaysburg.
Except everyone that has lived there forever. My brother, my sister,
right.
My parents.
That's right. I know.
Good luck to them.
I know. Ezra just visited Hollidaysburg. We just visited Hollidaysburg.
We did.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
We did. I didn't know there was a candy factory there. And we went and they make mallow cups.
Mm-hmm.
They make that candy that nobody will eat in their Halloween bag. But I love them.
We bought a ton of candy and then we didn't even bring any of it with us. We're like just...
Right.
My brother's
because I just ate
cupboard.
Like way too many. They also make Clark bars. And we went climbing at Chimney Rocks, which is...
That's hiking.
Well, we went hiking all the
way.
We
didn't really climb Chimney Rocks.
And I could not believe that Pat never made out there once.
I was never up there before.
That's so crazy.
It's like, look it up. Hollidaysburg, Chimney Rocks. You'll see a picture of it. Who's going to do this? No one's going to do it.
It was so beautiful. And like...
kids would go up there and drink and make out. I never went up there.
I can't.
The first time I was up there was with my wife.
I just can't
I
even
you.
Believe it.
Yes, I kissed you up there.
Answer it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we got back to my parents. Your hair was all messed up.
Just had like mallow cups smeared all over my face.
Your shirt was not buttoned correctly. You're missing a button.
You're elaborating on this story, but.
Yeah. You said we went climbing. You started with the elaborating. We climbed. We were free climbing.
We had a pickaxe.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Got another one for you. This is interesting because the songs are more old-timey because the people that are participating today are in our age range, kind of.
Yeah, except for Footloose.
Except for Footloose and Jackson Brown.
Katie's got to be, well, yeah, Jackson Brown's old-timey too, if you think about it.
Not old-timey like Andy Williams.
No.
Or Clancy Brothers. There's a lot of difference between, you know, you're right, between Kenny Loggins. Katie Ninas is not in our age range. Kenny Loggins to Clancy Brothers, that's a lot. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Hello to Pat, Pilar, and the Rock Solid listeners. This is Ian Beresford in Berwick-upon-Tweed, Northumberland, England, with my selection for the Thanks Mum and Dad episode. My first memories of music is we used to have a cassette player and we had a couple of compilation tapes. And this is this one of the songs that was on there that I really loved. It's called Captain of Your Ship by Rapata and the Delrons. I think it was a hit from the late 60s. I still love this song, so I hope everyone enjoys it, and I hope everyone's well. And as always, thanks for your great content, Pat. Bye for now.
That song.
Yeah, I've never heard that song.
Me neither.
That's pretty cool. Thank you, Ian Beresford.
Yeah.
Nice. What makes me mad is like my parents weren't listening to The Who, or they didn't have Beatles records either.
Do you think that the reason you became such a music, like so crazy about music is that you were actually rebelling. Like, this is your way of being like, oh my God, I'm going to let this sound in that I've never heard. And
I'm going to cut loose.
Right.
Footloose.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if my parents listened to it, I wouldn't have liked it.
Maybe.
When I got older, I'd be like, yuck. Boo, the Kinks.
Do you have any Connie Francis? Because your dad always listened to Connie Francis.
They had Connie Francis for sure. Here, I'll play this one then. Okay. It's not Connie Francis, but this was definitely a song that was played at my house. This is Lynn Anderson.
Ah.
Oops, hold on. Turn it up.
Oh, I love this song.
I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes. When you take, you gotta give. So live, let live, or let go. Oh, 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 I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you.
I love that guitar.
Like big diamond rings.
I loved that
don't
song.
Find roses growing on
you loved what?
I loved that song. I did.
Yeah. Well, they had that album for sure.
You know, I have a party trick that I can sing the entire commercial compilation of the Connie Francis. I was it like.
Don't put yourself out there, and then if I ask you
K-Tel?
To do it. Are you going to do this right now?
I could do it. I could do it.
Let me save your breath. You wait. Do you want to do it? Is that why you're bringing this up?
No, but I can do it. That's my party trick. I can do the whole thing. You didn't. Are things you don't know about me.
Who's entertained at a party? But how bad is this party that you break that out? This party fucking sucks. You know what? Don't worry, because I got something for you. Hey, Pilar.
I'm just saying, it's like one of these random things.
What do you mean the Connie Francis songbook?
So do you remember how there used to be those commercials?
On TV, right? They would advertise album compilations.
Right. And yeah.
You would have to order it on TV.
Right. I can sing the entire commercial. I can sing every single song the way that they had it in the commercial. I can sing the commercial.
Are you going to do that right now? I don't think you can do it.
Okay. All right.
Oh, see, now she's thinking.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know how my voice is going to be because it's, you know, whatever.
No one said you had to sing it well.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not going to be sung well. Ready?
Okay.
Where the boys are, someone waits for me. We stroll the lane together among my souvenirs. Oh, mama, until the day that we're together once more. I'll delight. Yes, everybody's somebody's fool. V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N in the summer sun. Never, never on a Monday. Don't break the heart that loves you. My mind has a heart of its own. Lipstick on your collar, told a tale on you. And that's what I remember.
Okay, first of all, the party is now hopping. And I've never been more attracted to you. Okay, I don't know how you remember that.
I'm telling you.
That's crazy.
It's so stupid.
All right. Someone please go check, find it on YouTube and see if she did it correctly.
I'm telling you, that's how it was.
All right. This is where we're at.
And I never had a Connie Francis album. I never wanted to. It's just I knew that commercial.
And she's my aunt.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Pat Francis?
Yeah, that's Connie Francis. It's my aunt. All right. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Now that you've done your party trick.
Hey, look. We've been together how long? You didn't even know I could do that.
I mean, other people have like party treat, like I can bend over and kiss my own butt.
I'm just saying, you didn't know I could do that. No. We've been together for 30 years.
What else are you hiding?
Oh, so much.
Do you have a family two towns over?
Maybe. I'm a woman of mystery.
All right. Let's move on. Steve O'Dockerson. Coming right up.
Okay. Hi, Pat. Hi, Pilar. Hi, Rock Solid crew. It's Steve-O. I want to take a second before I get into my thing here just to say I have been lucky enough to be at Pat and Pilar's home and seen them interact with their kids. You guys are fantastic parents.
Aww.
You guys are really, really great, and it's been really cool to see. I really like watching my friends have a good relationship with their family, and I know that there's going to be a bunch of great stories on here with some really special memories about people and their folks. I didn't have that, and I'm not going to put my parents on full blast because that's a bummer. Instead, I want to talk about my dad's friend, Jerry Jacobs. Now, he went to school with my dad, and we'd go over to his cabin every so often. He had a cabin on the lake, we would go swimming in there, and he'd grill burgers, and we'd play records, and he'd let me read the Weekly World News about Bat Boy. And he was he was the first adult to talk to me like I was a person with opinions and thoughts and stuff. I wasn't just some kid, right? Jerry used to make me tapes with songs he thought I'd like, and I was six, and I would carry around this brown Fisher Price cassette player everywhere I went, and these tapes would later influence my own tastes, and more importantly, got me through some really sad, very scary, and very unsafe times growing up. I'd come across these songs later, and it'd just be like a flush of like, oh my god, that song was on that tape. Was I the only six-year-old child listening to The Grateful Dead, Devo, Men at Work, Nick Lowe, Elvis Costello, and Frank Zappa unsupervised? Yes. Yes, I was. This is from Frank Zappa's Waka Jawaka album, and it is my favorite part of the song. It just might be a one-shot deal. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Pilar. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys. Be safe.
You should be digging it while it's happening.
Yes! You should be digging it while it's happening.
Cause it just might be a one-shot
Now Steve-O sounds just like that.
Yeah. Steve-O, thank you so much for the compliment. Very nice.
So he's saying the parents weren't playing this. This is what he was playing when he was sort of escaping from the parents.
This is what his dad's friend introduced
him to. Him to it. Okay.
Yeah. That's how he... So tangentially, is that the word?
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
You know. From his parents, but not from his parents.
Yeah, and you're right. That is a rather inappropriate stop to like, hey, kid, hey, come here, listen to this.
All right, moving right along. Who do we got right here? Oh, this should be a good one. Do, 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 do. Let me open up that file. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, Pat, Pilar, and Rock Solid listeners. This is Tammy Makarski from Deep Here, Wisconsin. This topic was very easy for me. My mom, who is no longer with us, loved Dean Martin. He is really the only person I remember her listening to. She, like many, thought he was handsome, charming, and she would say, he has that twinkle in his eye. I'm not going to lie. I also enjoy me some Dean Martin, and I remember wonderful memories of my mom every time I hear him. Pat, if you could, please play I Will by the late great crooner Dean Martin. Thank you. And everybody be happy.
I don't want to be the one to say I'm going to miss you, but I will.
I will.
I don't want to say I'm going to cry my eyes out, baby, but I will. Not ashamed for you to know how much I really love you so, 'cause it was such a thrill. And just remember when you're gone, there'll be that someone sad who loves you still. You will look at him and see me smiling back at you. I know you will.
I don't think I've ever heard that song before. My parents had tons of Dean Martin albums.
I haven't either. No.
Yeah, I like that.
Smooth.
Yeah, he is smooth, right?
Yeah. Smooth operator. Like, why is that more listenable to me than Andy Williams? I can't figure it out.
I don't know.
Andy Williams sounds so white.
Maybe that's why.
Dean Martin sounds really white, too.
But he always had, like, a tan, so you didn't think he was white.
He just has, like, a kind of, like, you know, let's get through this and go in the next room kind of I don't know, something sexy about Dean Martin.
All right. And no sexy about Andy Williams.
No. All right. No.
I understand. All right, here we go.
Hello again, everyone. This is Garrett Chamberlain in Hillsboro, Oregon. When I was 13 years old, I was not into my parents' music at the time. It was a lot of Fleetwood Mac and Eagles and other overplayed soft rock, which was not my thing at that point.
How dare you?
One day I was riding in the back of my parents' car with their radio station playing, and a Led Zeppelin song was on. And I had never noticed stereo separation before. So this song has Jimmy Page coming back in after the last chorus with a guitar riff that bounces back and forth between the left and right speakers, which blew me away at the time. Continues when Robert Plant comes in and starts singing again. His vocals swirl back and forth between the left and right speakers too. Hearing that led me to, first of all, get majorly into Led Zeppelin, followed by getting all of the Led Zeppelin albums through Physical Graffiti. But I also started putting on the headphones and listening to my parents' records after school every day. So thanks, Mom and Dad, for turning me on to what is and what should never be.
And we have headphones on right now, so we are hearing this.
Yeah. First time I've appreciated that.
Wow.
That's, I never got it, but could you imagine that little kid in the back seat just being like, wait, left, no, right, left, right, what is happening?
And then smoking pot the following week. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Chamberlain. Turning Garrett onto weed. All right, sometimes when I do these episodes, I will ask a friend to participate. This friend also has a podcast. So here we go. Let's hear what this guy's bringing to the table.
David Wilde here with a rock solid record.
What?
That I discovered in my parents' record collection, which could be so many things I could choose. So many Neil Diamond 8-track tapes of my mother's. But it, in terms of records, my dad's vinyl, it was Frank Sinatra. And I'm going to go with an obvious, but a emotionally resonant choice for me, which is My Way by Frank Sinatra, which one of my first memories is my dad playing that song over and over again in his home office when he quit his job working for my uncle and started his own company, which ended up being quite successful, called the Wild Company. Part of the reason I could go to college and all. And he did it his way. And years later, I got to write the liner notes for Frank Sinatra's Duets album.
What?
Mentioned my dad, and on his deathbed, my father was bragging about that to a hospice nurse. So I know it meant something to him, and that means something to me, and so did this song. And I hope the end is not near, but I'm so glad my dad did it his way and maybe helped me do it my way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets.
That's a beautiful story.
Very nice. Yeah, that was fantastic.
So
I asked David Wilde to do this. He does it like immediately. So these words just roll right off his tongue. These
so
stories.
For people who might be new to the podcast, you should tell everybody a little bit about David Wilde, I think.
Now you put me on the spot.
Well, just you know, his credits.
World famous writer for Rolling Stone magazine, producer and writer of the Grammy Awards and many, many other award shows for years and years and years. Found my show, I think, from the Elliot Easton interview. And I think he either tweeted about it. And then I just reached out to him and said, oh, if you ever want to be on the show, let me know. And he said, yes. And then he was on the show many, many times and took me to many concerts and just great, great dude. And the next time I'm in LA, I hope to have lunch with him on my dime. My dime this time.
I don't know.
The thing about David, this is the funniest thing. I'm going to tell this story. So David took me to so many concerts. He go, oh, you want to see this concert? Yeah, okay, I got tickets. No worries. So it would always be, you know, free. And so I saw that Todd Rundgren had reformed with Utopia,
uh-huh,
and they're coming to the Wiltern Theater. So I text him and I said, hey, Utopia's coming to the Wiltern. You've taken me to so many concerts. I'm going to get tickets. I'm going to take you to, we're going to go to Utopia together. And then he texts back, don't buy any tickets yet, which I thought maybe that meant like, I don't know, maybe he's not in town. Maybe he's busy that night. And then I get another text. Okay, we're in. I got tickets. I'm like, no, no, that's not what I was trying to do. And then he basically said, don't buy tickets. Don't. I appreciate the gesture, but don't buy tickets.
Well, I've heard you say that now to people, too, because you get so many free tickets, you know, and they're always like, well, let me, you know.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway.
Thank you, David Wilde.
Thank you, David Wilde. That was great.
And that podcast is with
Naked Lunch with Phil Rosenthal.
Yeah. Somebody feeds Phil guy. Yeah.
Yes. And I think David would say he's the host and Phil's the co-host. And I think Phil would say he's the host and David's the co-host. I'm not really sure who's who. But every week they are hitting it out of the park with big name guests. I think maybe they know people and they can just get them on the show. I don't know how it works. But yeah, great success and continued success with Naked Lunch podcast. Phil Rosenthal was on your podcast.
He was, and David Wilde was supposed to be on. I kept...
The apology is coming.
Well, it is an apology because, you know, who knew that 1,000 would happen very quickly? That's crazy because I was always like, oh, yeah, I got to get David on because he writes for award shows or he runs.
He writes for award shows. Yeah.
So I wanted to have him talk about that. And I never did. I can't believe there are people I didn't have on that I know... And it's 1,000. It's crazy.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
Time moves on.
Yes.
Also, David Wilde gave me one of the best dad moment points of all time when he allowed me to take Rita to watch Billie Eilish rehearse on the Grammys.
Oh, my God. And Billie Eilish
talked to Rita.
Oh, my God. And
it
Rita
was the
just
biggest thing
burst into tears.
Ever. Yeah, it was the biggest thing ever. And I don't even know if he knows how big that was.
Yeah.
Because for him, he's just like, yeah, let me see if you can come down. Yeah, you guys can come down. And then he's just like, yeah, you guys are the only ones here. So just, you know, be chill, which we were. But I don't think he ever said be chill. But anyway, yeah, good. And she still talks about that, David.
Well, it was because she was one of the few people in the audience, right?
There was no one there. It was just crew. And it was just crew.
Well, I guess there was another. Well, Rita But Rita just kept her eyes like
she was transfixed, glued on Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish the whole time, and Billie Eilish was like,
when she walked by us, she said to Rita something like, she said,
"You."
She goes, "You." She goes, "You knew." She goes, "When I was up there singing, I was singing right to you." She goes, "And you knew every word."
That's amazing.
And it was just crazy. It was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, memories.
Private concert.
Private concert. What's the Barbie song called? What was the song from Barbie called? That's the one she was doing.
Wow. I don't remember.
I love it too, because she wasn't there with an entourage. She was just there with her parents and mm-hmm. Phineas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just dressed normal. She had a sweatshirt on. They just looked like you could run into this family at the mall.
Yeah.
It was like not as, but she's a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of wild. Thank you again, David. All right. Moving on. Make sure I have all the sound up. This is Jeff Scobel. And again, Jeff Scobel, whenever I have an interview coming up and I need some music that I can't find from that artist, it's either out of print or whatever it is, I just email Jeff Scobel and he has it and he sends it to me. It's crazy. So Jeff Scobel does like behind the scenes research for me that people don't even know about.
Really?
Yeah. So thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, Rock Solid people, Pat and Pilar. Jeff Scobel from Detroit here with my selection for this month's Patreon-supported episode in tribute to moms and dads. I love this topic as my parents had a pretty sizable record collection and fairly eclectic with a lot of classical, opera, and musicals in it. But sprinkled among those less appealing options for me were some real gems, like the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album where I discovered my eternal love for that band. However, I'm going to go a different direction here and pick a song by Jim Croce from the album You Don't Mess Around with Jim from 1972. Every time my parents would play this, I was totally rapt with attention, and I loved every single song from the album. I'm going to pick Operator, That's Not the Way It Feels, which has always been one of my very favorite Croce songs. I just love the little story it manages to tell from such a simple phone conversation, and it brings back such nostalgia every time I hear it. As always, hope everyone stands safe out there and keep on rocking.
Operator, or could you help me place this call? See, the number on the matchbook is old and faded. She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray. Gosh, she said she knew well and sometimes hated. But isn't that the way they say it goes? Well, let's forget all that and give me the number if you can't find it, so I can call just to tell them I'm fine and to show I've overcome the blow. I've learned to take it well. I wish my words could just convince
my best old ex-friend.
I was just
gonna
say the same thing.
Were you?
Yes, it's the greatest line.
Yes.
Because his old girlfriend is now with Ray.
Yeah, yeah.
So great. I love it. All right, you want to jump in here? You want to wait a song or two?
I can wait a song or two.
All right.
People are getting tired of me. I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
Trust me. Here we go.
Hello, Pat, Pilar, and Rock Solid listeners. This is Chris Combs from Virginia. You guys, I absolutely love this topic. My parents played music throughout my childhood all of the time, so their taste in music had a profound influence on what I ended up growing up listening to. My dad introduced me to all the staples, Beatles and Led Zeppelin to Black Sabbath, all of the good stuff. But for this episode, I'd like to kind of shout out my mom. My mom was a country music fan, and she would play country music all of the time. And although most of that genre really didn't resonate with me, I have to give her props for introducing me to Dwight Yoakam. So my selection for this episode is The Streets of Bakersfield. It's a duet between Dwight Yoakam and Buck Owens from the 1998 album Buenas Noches from a Lonely Room. When I hear this song, I immediately think of my mom. And quite frankly, I just still love Dwight. I listen to all of his albums. He's the sole country music artist that I thoroughly embrace. So thank you, Mom. And thank you, Dad, for introducing me to so much great music. And Pat, Pilar, Again, keep up the great work. I love these episodes, and I'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
I came here looking for something I couldn't find anywhere else. Hey, I'm not trying to be nobody. I just want a chance to be myself. I've spent 1,000 miles of coming. Yes, I've worn blisters on my heel. Trying to find me something better here on the streets of Bakersfield. Hey, you don't know me, but you don't like me. Say you care less how I feel. But how many of you that sit and judge me ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
All right, Dwight Yoakam with Buck Owens from Hee Haw fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I've, like, seen it.
Cool. It was Buck Owens and what was the guy's name? Roy.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember his name?
I don't know.
I got to look it up. It's going to drive me nuts.
I didn't watch much of Hee Haw. You probably did because they were, like, those cute girls.
Roy Clark.
In the...
The Hee Haw Honeys?
Yeah, the Hee Haw Honeys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would want that on the TV. It's a fucking horrible show. Terrible. How many seasons did that run for? I mean, it was... Every Saturday night, my folks had it on. 26 seasons. 655 episodes of that fucking hillbilly bullshit.
I can beat you, because remember, I lived with grandparents.
Oh my God, what were they watching?
Lawrence Welk.
Oh, it's a tie.
Lawrence, no, it's not. It is not.
All right.
Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk's pretty awful.
Oh, God. God.
They do those fucking corny jokes in the cornfield, and oh, my God.
Is Dwight Yoakam the guy who went on to be an actor, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Dwight Yoakam, yeah, he was in Sling Blade.
Yeah, okay.
The Hee Haw Honeys in stereotypical farmer's daughter outfits. Thank you.
You did not find that on Lawrence Welk.
No, you did not. We also had Minnie Pearl, not a looker.
Stop.
What? Grandpa Jones, Junior Samples. Junior Samples, like, how is he... Alvin Monroe Samples Jr., better known as Junior Samples, was an American comedian, best known for his 14-year run as a cast member of Hee Haw.
Okay, you're going down a rabbit hole. This is back.
A sixth grade dropout. Yeah, no shit.
Okay, we're going to go back to music.
I would watch Hee Haw, and I'm like, how did these people get on television? Who are these people? Literally, it felt so authentic, like, to where I grew up. Like, I'm like, did they just go into Uncle Joe's woodshed and start filming? That's a place where it's still a store in Altoona, PA.
Is it,
Uncle
really?
Joe's woodshed.
It sounds like a place that they took you to punish you.
Oh, my God.
They're going to take you to Uncle Joe's woodshed.
And when you were at checkout, they would give you a pretzel.
Okay.
Like a pretzel rod.
All right.
So you would go, you want to go to Uncle Joe's woodshed with mom and dad today? I don't really want to. You can get a pretzel rod. Well, okay, I'll fucking go. There's nothing fucking else to do around here. So then you'd go. And then I remember this. Every day they had like a special number, and you would have to reach in. And if you pulled that number out, you would get like 20% off of your whole order for the day. And they sold like... knickknacks and fucking craft shit. There was nothing in there that I wanted. But I would reach in and I would always look for the number and then I would pull it out.
Really?
Yeah. Like when they weren't watching a kid. I'm like, I'll reach in and I would cheat. I'm cheating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I cheated.
That's so you. It's so you. I think this is...
My parents didn't know I was. They just all of a sudden were like, hey, Pat won again.
I'm going to have you play... My second one, because this
right now.
Oh, okay.
I can pull it up.
I was going to say that this is going to show how completely different. Yeah, I can't even say completely different. Pat and I were raised. Okay, right. This is like we could not have grown up in more different places
no.
with more different parents.
No.
Okay. So this...
You were walking the streets of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I
literally,
was,
yeah, yes.
Literally. And Park Slope.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was at Uncle Joe's Woodshed getting a pretzel rod on a fucking Saturday afternoon.
So this is... I wanted to pick one from my mom. My mom did not listen to a lot of music, okay? This was my entry into this album, which I did end up playing nonstop, and it like I love every single song on this, but it's not just that. It was my entry into the world of women's liberation.
Thank you.
Okay, go for it.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again, whoa, yes.
Now, I will admit that is a terrible song, but I loved the rest of the album, which probably also has terrible songs on it, but I just loved it. I was young. I loved it. They're all story songs, you know. There's Angie Baby and Delta Dawn and like.
Well, you're talking about a greatest hits album because this.
Oh, that wasn't the great. Oh, well, this is what I heard it on.
Yes, yeah, you heard it on a greatest hits.
I heard it on a greatest hits. Yes, okay, yes. Sorry about that. So my mother was this giant feminist in kind of a weird way because she was, you know, she'd take me to the marches. We did the ERA marches. She would, you know, take me to the, you know, Walk for Women's Lives, like all these things, right? But let me just explain like how she was, right? She also kind of thought like, you should please your man.
Amen, brother.
Okay. And
now that's what I'm talking about.
In the 80s, because like, you know, in the 70s, this is how I grew up with Helen Reddy and stuff like that. And I went on to be a women's studies major in college and all this stuff, right? But like in the 80s, we were marching in Boston together for a pro-choice rally. And my mom was wearing a full-length mink coat.
Okay, there you go.
Right.
So much for animal rights.
Right, with high-heeled boots, this full-length mink
all right,
coat.
All right.
And
was she holding hands with Carly Simon?
I know, like, because, you know, she'd worked really hard and she also grew up in the days that, like, if you like, the sign of success was finally being able to buy a fur. So she was just like this walking contradiction, you know? And I remember like marching with her, just hoping nobody threw paint on us. but yeah, so it was more like an introduction to this philosophy than to music. Although I did love the Helen Reddy Greatest Hits album more than life itself. So good.
I Am Woman, number one hit song, selling over 1 million copies. Her other hits included Delta Dawn went to number one, Leave Me Alone, Ruby Red Dress went to number three, You and Me Against the World, number nine, Angie Baby, number one, Ain't No Way to Treat a Lady went to number eight.
Yep, I love all these songs so much, but I Am Woman kind of is a little ominous. It's a little silly.
So it's fine tune. It's fine. People seem to love it. Went to number one. So... when I lived in Chicago, one of the comedians I would work with from time to time was a gentleman named Stu Olson, mm-hmm. Older than me. He had been an attorney, and he would write on television sometimes. And he told me this story once that he had never written for television. Mm-hmm. And Helen Reddy was getting a variety show. And her and her husband saw him perform in Chicago, I think. And they said, we want to fly you out to L.A. to write on Helen's going to have a variety show.
Wow.
And he's like, great. And they go, yeah, we'll fly you out for a meeting. And so I guess he had to fly out. I don't know if he ever got the job, but he had to fly out to pitch ideas. And one of the ideas he pitched to them was, you know, at the end when Carol Burnett tugs on her ear to say goodbye?
Yeah.
He said, on the first episode, we have Helen do that, but she pulls her ear right off of her head and just blood like squirts out of her side of her head as the credits went up. And he said, they just looked at him like, what are you talking about? So I don't think he did get the job.
Didn't get the gig.
But how, that's great.
That is hilarious.
Because I think he kept saying, we want to be edgy. We don't want to be like those other variety shows like Donnie and Marie and whatever was on at the time.
Right.
We want to be edgy. So he's like, oh. And by the way, in the entertainment industry, when someone says they want to be edgy, they don't really want. No. They don't know what edgy is.
Right.
They don't want to be edgy.
Right.
Just so you know. All right. I have a lot of insight into the Hollywood industry. All right. Here's a man of a certain age that I work with. You ready?
Man of a certain age?
Yeah. What?
Why do you?
That was a television show.
I know, but I don't think he'd want to be introduced that way.
Everyone's of a certain age.
Okay.
Our kids are of a certain age.
All right.
I didn't say what age he was. I just said he's a man of a certain age.
Okay.
Hey, Pat. It's Michael Johnson from right here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thought I would provide this submission from Kenny Loggins for your episode entitled Thanks, Mom and Dad. It's a song called Danny's Song that was written for Loggins' brother, who had recently had a baby boy. So even to this day, it resonates with me. I can still remember as a 7-year-old being curled up on the shag carpeting of our California home, listening to the vinyl that my father would always play and celebrate. This is one of the great ones. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like she and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. Sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. And everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me,
you were playing that song yesterday.
Yeah, because I was getting this episode ready.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, Michael's was the last submission I got, and I had to put it together.
Because I was listening to it, and I was like, God, I love this song. And
well, you can thank Michael.
Oh, it's the that's so funny. I thought you were listening to it.
Well, I was, but just to get it ready for this episode.
I love that song so much. I'm not a huge Kenny Loggins fan, and I love that song.
That is written by Kenny Loggins, recorded by Loggins and Messina, which was his duo before he went solo.
Ah.
And made all the money.
Got it.
It's got to make the guy mad, right? Partner. You have a modicum of success, but then when Kenny goes solo, then he's big.
Right.
It happens.
Yep.
All right. How many more do we have? Not many more. We have like 4 more.
All right, let's go for it.
Hi, Pat, Pilar, and the rest of Rock Solid crew. Richard Birch here from London, UK. I like this Patreon episode. It's an interesting topic. Because my parents had very different tastes in music. My dad was into jazz, sort of Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, and strangely Pink Floyd. And my mum liked Elvis, the Stones, the Kinks, the Faces, and Rod Stewart. And I picked a track from my mother's choice of music, the sort of Faces track. I was lucky enough to meet Rod Stewart in a restaurant on my mum's 80th birthday a few years ago. And he very kindly came over and had a chat with her. They were kissing a cuddle and made her 80th birthday. So the track I've chosen is a Faces track on an album called Five Guys Walked Into a Bar. It was sort of a hit in the UK. I'm not sure if it did anything in the US. It was called Paul Hall Richard. Quite a nice rocky one. I hope you all enjoy it. Cheers. Bye.
This is what mom listened to?
Yeah, I have never heard that song before. That's fantastic.
That's so fun.
This story about Richard's mom's 80th birthday and Rod Stewart is in the restaurant and comes over. And I don't know if you heard what he said, came over to say hello and gave her a kiss and a cuddle.
A kiss and a cuddle.
And I believe, Richard, I don't know if I'm imagining this, but do you have pictures of that? And did you send those to me once? If you did, send it again. I want to see that picture again because this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is, and look, I'm going to tell people, I've read a lot of rock bios. Rod Stewart's is one of the best. It's just joyous with just this guy knew immediately this is how I want to make a living and just lived life and continues to do it and continues. He just feels like a guy that is always having fun. He's not down in the dumps, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rod Stewart so much. I love that story and I love that song. I'm gonna go listen to that song later. So thank you, Richard. That was great. Loved it. Pool Hall Richard. Cool. All right.
Pool Hall Richard?
Pool.
Pool Hall.
Pool. What'd you think I said? Poo?
Pull.
Pull. I can't say some words.
It's cute though.
It's good for broadcasting if you can't say it. Well, it worked for Tom Brokaw.
That's right.
A red leather, a yellow leather.
That's right.
Hey, Rock Solid. Dwayne Hoffman here, Columbus, ooh, Ohio. Perfect timing. I just happened to bring home my parents' record collection last month and have been going through listening to all the albums I played as a kid. They're in terrible condition, sound like crap, but I'm having fun doing it anyhow. And one of my favorite artists as a kid was Johnny Cash, and they had a couple Johnny Cash albums, and I used to always play Orange Blossom Special. And even got to see him perform it in concert as a little boy. He had a movie of trains in the background, so it was really cool. So you can just take it from the top if you like. Doesn't matter to me. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Pilar. And thanks, Mom and Dad.
Sounds like Johnny Cash already. Sounds like Folsom Prison, how it starts.
Look yonder, coming, coming down that railroad track. Hey, look yonder, coming, coming down that railroad track. It's the Orange Blossom Special, bringing my baby back.
Orange Blossom Special.
I love how there was somebody doing the train thing, like, woo woo. It's just like, okay.
Well, that's how they had to do it back then. Let's just keep moving right along.
All right.
Hello, Pat and Pilar and Rock Solid listeners. This is Rob McKinnon in Ontario, Canada, with my contribution to the Thanks Mom and Dad episode. When I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, my parents had a fairly extensive record collection. Well, more accurately, my mom had a record collection, because I don't think my dad ever bought a record of any kind for himself in his life. Mom's collection included everything from the Beatles and the Monkees to Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow, Kenny Rogers, Ann Murray, and many more. But one song from one album had a big impact on me. The album was The Best of Burton Cummings from 1980, and the song was Break It to Them Gently. This song really piqued my interest. As an 11-year-old, I could not fathom any situation that could put anyone in the predicament described in the lyrics. Why is this guy telling someone to tell his parents that he's never coming home again? He says he wants to go home, but he can't. The thought of not being able to see my parents and brother and sister ever again really concerned me.
Aww.
So I asked my mom, and she told me that if I listened to the words, it sounded like this person made a bad decision, got into trouble, and now he's paying the consequences for his actions.
Ooh.
This moment was the Rosetta Stone of lyrics for me. It was the first time I realized that songs could be about something. They could be more than just a catchy chorus. They could be moving and profound and disturbing and lovely or anything at all, if I just listened to the lyrics. So this one goes out to my mom and dad, who are both still thriving in their 80s, and I'm thankful that I'm still able to go home again.
Break it to them gently, when you tell my mom and dad, when you see my baby sister, be as kind as you can. Break it to my grandma, that boy's wild and bad. Break it to them gently when you tell them that I won't be coming home again. Cause I'm running with a gun and it isn't any fun as a fugitive. Fighting for my life and I don't know if I'll make it alone.
Go, friend of the show, Burton Cummings.
There you go.
Also, friend of the show, Kenny Loggins today. I got to be honest with you. I got two people in the playlist today.
There you are.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Burton Cummings. I like that tune at the end. The guy was on that ride cymbal pretty good. I liked it.
He gave me an idea for another Patreon episode that I think we should do.
Do you want to clear it with me?
Yeah, yeah. But Not the next one.
Do you have one for the next time?
I do have one for the next one.
You want to throw it out there right now?
Yeah, I had kind of
cleared it. Did you clear it with me?
I did clear it with you, but I don't know if you were paying attention.
Probably not. I was probably still all psyched up by that Connie Francis. Go ahead. What is it?
So you and I had just taken a road trip, and Ezra just took a road trip.
Yeah,
it's the summer. A lot of people taking road trips. So I think a Patreon episode about, like, what is a song from your road trip album? Not about road trips, but, like, the road trip album that you want to hear when you're on a trip, like, the whole thing, what is a song from
it? I feel like it's too broad.
No, I don't think so, because think about it.
So what, like, are you saying? There's an album I listen to when I road trip.
Yeah, like...
And I pull a song from that album.
Yeah, so give us a song from this album and tell us why it's your road trip album.
It's not a road trip song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a road trip album.
It could still be a road trip song, but not about, I don't want people to confuse it with this is about road trips, right? It's
right.
Like, what do you want to hear when you're on your road trip, you know? And a lot of people have, like, oh yeah, I've got, like, this is my song I want to, my album I want to hear when I'm on a road trip. Here's a song from it.
I'm letting this digest a little bit.
Really?
I feel like it's too broad.
It is.
I feel like it could be anything, because when I go on a road trip, I go, oh, I'm just going to grab this, and it's just like,
yeah, but you
it's not like my every time I road trip, I listen to Van Halen 2.
Not everybody is like you, you know. A lot of people, like, when they go on a road trip, right? They're like this would be what they want to listen to. So even if they haven't gone on one, like, if they have to, like, go, like, oh, yeah, I would bring this album. This is one I want to hear when I'm on the road.
All right.
You know,
all
when
right.
I'm, like, just looking ahead at the horizon.
I'm
going to
call this episode Road Tripping.
Yeah, Road Tripping. What's the song from your road trip album? The song that you would...
All right.
The road... And tell us why the
It's not
the
a compilation that you've made yourself. It's an actual album.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So, like, let's say Hotel California is my road trip album.
Right.
And then I pick a song from that.
Right, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. All right. People are thinking about it already.
Are they?
Yes.
They're thinking about how not to participate?
No.
All right. I'm going to let you, look, you've got a streak so far.
Yes.
All right. Here's the last one, then I got to play out. You ready?
Okay.
Hello, Pat. I assume Pilar and all the rock solid listeners out there. Tommy Norman from Nashville, Tennessee here. For the Mom and Dad Patreon episode, I am taken back to my dad's vast record collection that occupied an entire wall of his study. It consisted mostly of artists like Gilbert Humperdinck, Crystal Gayle, and lots of military marching music. Not much to catch a young man's imagination, but one day as I thumbed through those albums, one cover jumped out at me. It was the whipped cream-covered lady on the front of Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass's Whipped Cream and Other Delights.
Remember it well.
Now, my dad was a very conservative fella, so seeing this in his assortment of LPs seemed almost scandalous. I had no idea who that band was, but I had to listen to that album. Of course, the biggest standout song was A Taste of Honey, because I had at least heard that one before. But I was disappointed that the music did not live up to the steamy promise of that frothy, seductive siren on the cover. Nevertheless, I will never forget the jolt of excitement I felt when I first saw it. Shout out to Dolores Erickson, the model featured in that sultry pose. You can skip ahead to the 22nd mark to get the main hook of this Grammy Award-winning, albeit not that sexy tune. And as always, thanks for letting me play along.
Remember this?
I do, and I remember the cover.
Yep, me too.
My dad had that too.
Yep. I wonder how many albums they sold because of the cover.
Because of the cover, right.
I need to look that model up later.
Whatever, Pat.
Think she's 90?
Yeah. You can date her now. Go for it. Got my blessing.
Yep. I'm not going to waste my shot. Not going to throw away my shot. Probably a number one hit. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
No, I'm laughing at the fact that it was a number one hit.
I mean, it probably was. I don't know if it was. Yeah. I said it might be.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any promoting to do?
On thepage.tv, look for the recorded classes. Still have a couple of episodes left of the podcast. Yeah. I guess that is it.
That's it. All right. We are at Rock Solid Show on Instagram and at Rock Solid Podcast on Blue Sky, rocksolidpodcast.com. I already mentioned the Patreon page up front, so I'm not going to do that again. But weekly prizes, probably in conjunction with this episode, I'll probably give away an Andy Williams vinyl.
No, you won't.
You don't know what I might do.
I have still blown away by all of the prizes that come in and all of the opportunities to win stuff. It's some amazing.
What do we got over there? I got four of the Bangles biography, Eternal Flame. Yep. Those are sitting over there. Got a couple Alice Cooper CDs still. And I got Debbie Gibson, four copies of Eternally Electric. That's her autobiography. But I'm still waiting to get her on the show because they've promised and then it does not happen. So who knows if I'll wait till Debbie's on or if I'll just give those away soon. Who knows?
Okay.
But we'll figure it out. All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you for chugging that coffee down. Thank you for your Connie Francis. Thank you for coming up with topics, even if they're, you know, a little convoluted like next month's.
No. And it's good.
Okay. All right. You can let us know, too, in your intro if you like that topic.
Oh, everybody's going to love this. Okay. Everybody puts, all right. you get on the road. Right, you get on the road.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, you're like, oh yeah, I can just listen to this. I can listen to this album.
Right.
The whole thing, undisturbed.
Okay.
While my husband sleeps next to me in the passenger seat.
What did you listen to when because you did most of the driving up to Pennsylvania.
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, you're going to,
there you go.
Oh, so this is, you just wanted to ram your playlist down my throat?
Just,
so that's why you came up with this?
It just made me think of it all, you know.
Sounds like you didn't put a lot of thought into it. This sounds like you just went with whatever.
Pat, don't find the negative.
So, with that, more episodes coming soon. The Daves will be here live and in person in July. Dana McKissick will be sitting across from me. Michael Johnson will be sitting across from me. So, you know, given the Rock Room a little bit of a workout. At least one episode a month is recorded live, and that's with you. And then Mara was just here. So, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to get more and more people, you know, to sit across from me because I always feel like that's the best episodes.
Well, come to North Carolina, everybody.
Come to North Carolina. Also, Jim Schultz will be here. We're going to do an AC/DC episode before we go see AC/DC in 1 month.
There you go.
So all fun stuff. Okay, now, with that, I told you my parents had a ton of Dean Martin in their record collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely remember hearing this song, Little Old Wine Drinker.
Is this the play out?
This is the play out.
Okay.
Thank you, Pilar.
Thank you, Pat.
Here you go.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm sitting in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. And they ask, who's a fool in the corner crying? I say, a little old wine drinker me. I came here last week from down in Nashville, 'cause my baby left for Florida on a train.